TeepBeat.com.
I'm going hard for my God like I went hard in these streets. Instead of chasing that money, I'm chasing G-O-D. Been trying to walk in this image since I've been forgiven. Just trying to let my light shine so y'all can see the God in them. I turned away from my old ways, say bye-bye to the dope gang. Put the guns down, open my mind to some new things. When I picked up that Bible, the devil ain't like it. I know that he mad, but I know Jesus is excited. Cause I'm about to grind for him, grind for him. Make sure he first in everything, give all my time to him. About to save a lot souls just off of my influence. And no, I ain't a preacher, I'ma do it through my music. It's a wonderful feeling when you let the Lord use you. Feeling like Dietrich Haller, have your way however you choose to. Just that you will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'm a hustler for the Lord, about to re-up with his
man. I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. Yeah, I was living wrong, but it's too late to get it right. I can go over go or live in a sin-filled life. Man, I'm trying to be like Jesus too, Jesus Christ. Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. And if you living wrong, it ain't too late to get it right. You can no longer go or live in a sin-filled life. Man, you need to be like Jesus too, Jesus Christ.
Verse 2 is for those who probably know me from my past. Don't believe that I changed because they knew how I got down. Probably seen me in them strip clubs or serving in them streets. Probably seen me flexing bankrolls or swerving with a freak. I'm a two-time felon, what could the Lord do with me? Ain't nothing too hard for God, you just watch and you gon' see. Because the saint is just a sinner who fell down and got back up again. Devil had me on my knuckles, Jesus picked me up again. Dust me off, told me I should walk this way, talk this way. And any sign of trouble that I had that I ought to pray. I ain't worried no more. I tell you I ain't stressing, man. It's power that I found in God. I tell you it's a blessing. I ain't lying, man. Man, you should try, man. You keep on living by that gun, then you gon' die by it. Man, I ain't lying, man. Man, you should try, man. You keep on living by that gun, then you gon' die by it.
Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. Yeah, I was living wrong, but it's too late to get it right. I can no longer go on living a sin-filled life. Man, I'm trying to be like Jesus too, Jesus Christ. Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. And if you living wrong, it ain't too late to get it right. You can no longer go on living a sin-filled life. Man, you need to be like Jesus too, Jesus Christ.
So now you know I'm a changed man. Got a new game plan, but I still rock, bust icy watches and chains, man. The Lord said come as you are, he love me for me. So all you older church folks, don't judge what you see. God judge up your heart, and since he changed your mind, don't judge before you get to know me, make me change my mind. Too many youth has left the church because they ain't feel love. The very place that supposed to teach us all that God is love. How can you say you love God but don't show it? When you can love your haters like your brother, then you growing. And man, I'm growing, growing through his word. Stop trying to do it my way and let God work. And now I'm feeling moving, my blessings keep improving. When I say I'm on the ground for God, you ask me what I'm doing. Well, I'm serving, I'm living for his purpose. Giving praise to his name at all times.
Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. Yeah, I was living wrong, but it's too late to get it right. I can no longer go on living a sin-filled life. Man, I'm trying to be like Jesus too, Jesus Christ. Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. And if you living wrong, it ain't too late to get it right. You can no longer go on living a sin-filled life. Man, you need to be like Jesus too, Jesus Christ.
Hello, and welcome to Run for Christ Ministries Blog Talk Radio Bible Reading Class. My name is Deacon Charles Mackey, and I'll be with you this evening as we continue through the Book of Psalms. We thank God for each and every one of you who have tuned in, and we ask that you let someone else know about this Bible Reading Class. Today we're going to open with prayer. The following prayer will begin the Bible Reading portion of this class. After that, we'll open the phone lines for you to answer review questions or just make comments. All you have to do is press 1 to enter the host queue, and the review questions can be found at rfcm.org. And for anyone participating, please remember to keep all background noise to a zero and try to keep your phone on mute when you're not answering a question or asking a question. Now let us pray. Father God, we thank you as we come together again to go over your word. as we strengthen our relationship with you, Father God, and expand our knowledge of it. We thank you for this evening. Thank you for all those who are participating. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. This evening we'll be going over chapters 56 through 60. We'll see you on the other side.
Psalm 56 for the director of music to the tune of A Dove on Distant Oaks of David of Michtam, when the Philistines had seized him in Gath. Be merciful to me, my God, for my enemies are in hot pursuit. All day long they press their attack. My adversaries pursue me all day long. In their pride many are attacking me. When I'm afraid, I put my trust in you, in God whose word I praise. In God I trust and am not afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? All day long they twist my words. All their schemes are for my ruin. They conspire, they lurk, they watch my steps, hoping to take my life. Because of their wickedness, do not let them escape. In your anger, God, bring the nations down. Record my misery. List my tears on your scroll. Are they not in your record? Then my enemies will turn back when I call for help. By this I will know that God is for me. In God, whose word I praise, in the Lord, whose word I praise. In God I trust, and I am not afraid. What can man do to me? I am under vows to you, my God. I will present my thank offerings to you. For you have delivered me from death, and my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. Psalm 57, for the director of music, to the tune of Do Not Destroy, of David, a Michtam, when he had fled from Saul into the cave. Have mercy on me, my God, have mercy on me, for in you I take refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed. I cry out to God Most High, to God who vindicates me. He sends from heaven and saves me, rebuking those who hotly pursue me. God sends forth his love and his faithfulness. I am in the midst of lions. I am forced to dwell among ravenous beasts, men whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp swords. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. They spread a net for my feet. I was bowed down in distress. They dug a pit in my path, but they have fallen into it themselves. My heart, O God, is steadfast. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make music. Awake, my soul. Awake, harp and lyre. I will awake in the dawn. I will praise you, Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the peoples. For great is your love, reaching to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. Psalm 58. For the director of music, to the tune of Do Not Destroy, of David, a Michtam. Do you rulers indeed speak justly? Do you judge people with equity? No. In your heart you devise injustice, and your hands mete out violence on the earth. Even from birth the wicked go astray. From the womb they are wayward, spreading lies. Their venom is like the venom of a snake, like that of a cobra that has stopped its ears, that will not heed the tune of the charmer, however skillful the enchanter may be. Break the teeth in their mouths, O God. Lord, tear out the fangs of those lions. Let them vanish like water that flows away. When they draw the bow, let their arrows fall short. May they be like a slug that melts away as it moves along, like a stillborn child that never sees the sun. Before your pots can feel the heat of the thorns, whether they be green or dry, the wicked will be swept away. The righteous will be glad when they are avenged. When they dip their feet in the blood of the wicked, then people will say, surely the righteous still are rewarded. Surely there is a God who judges the earth. Psalm 59. for the director of music to the tune of Do Not Destroy of David Amitan, when Saul had sent men to watch David's house in order to kill him. Deliver me from my enemies, O God. Be my fortress against those who are attacking me. Deliver me from evildoers and save me from those who are after my blood. See how they lie in wait for me. Fierce men conspire against me for no offense or sin of mine, Lord. I have done no wrong, yet they are ready to attack me. Arise to help me. Look on my plight. You, Lord God Almighty, you who are the God of Israel, rouse yourself to punish all the nations. Show no mercy to wicked or traitors. They return at evening, snarling like dogs, and prowl about the city. See what they spew from their mouths. The words from their lips are sharp as swords, and they think, who can hear us? But you laugh at them, Lord. You scoff at all those nations. You are my strength. I watch for you. You, God, are my fortress, my God on whom I can rely. God will go before me and will let me gloat over those who slander me. But do not kill them, Lord, our shield, or my people will forget. In your might, uproot them and bring them down. For the sins of their mouths, for the words of their lips, let them be caught in their pride. For the curses and lies they utter, consume them in your wrath. Consume them till they are no more. Then it will be known to the ends of the earth that God rules over Jacob. They return at evening, snarling like dogs, and prowl about the city. They wander about for food and howl if not satisfied. But I will sing of your strength in the morning. I will sing of your love. For you are my fortress, my refuge in times of trouble. You are my strength. I sing praise to you, you God, are my fortress, my God on whom I can rely. Psalm 60, for the director of music, to the tune of the Lily of the Covenant, a miktam of David, for teaching, when he fought Aram, Naharaim, and Aram Zobah, and when Joab returned and struck down 12,000 Edomites in the Valley of Salt. You have rejected us, God, and burst upon us. You have been angry, now restore us. You have shaken the land and torn it open. Mend its fractures, for it is quaking. You have shown your people desperate times. You have given us wine that makes us stagger. But for those who fear you, you have raised a banner to be unfurled against the bow. Save us and help us with your right hand, that those you love may be delivered. God has spoken from his sanctuary. In triumph, I will parcel out Shechem and measure off the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine, and Manasseh is mine. Ephraim is my helmet. Judah is my scepter. Moab is my wash basin. On Edom, I toss my sandal. Over Philistia, I shout in triumph. Who will bring me to the fortified city? Who will lead me to Edom? Is it not you, God, you who have now rejected us and no longer go out with our armies? Give us aid against the enemy, for human help is worthless. With God, we will gain the victory, and he will trample down our enemies.
All right. That concludes the reading portion. And remember, if you'd like to participate, just press 1 to enter the host queue. Let's get started with the questions. Question number 1, why did David ask God to have mercy on him?
Chapter 56, verse 1 and 2. Good evening.
Yeah. Good evening, E. And that is correct, brother.
Pardon me?
Good evening, doctor.
Hey, hey, my good brethren.
Yes, all right.
Yes, sir. Professor Welk and Dr. Welk, if y'all out there together. And I have 56, verse 1 and 2.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Oh, God, have mercy on me, for people are hounding me. My foes attack me all day long. I am constantly hounded by those who slander me, and many are boldly attacking me. Amen?
Amen.
All right.
Amen. Right. Number 2, what will happen when he calls to God for help?
Hmm. I have. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I have. All righty. Excuse me, gentlemen. I have chapter 56, 9 through 11. And it reads,
yes, sir.
My enemies will retreat when I call to you for help. This I know. God is on my side. I praise God for what he has promised. Yes, I praise the Lord for what he has promised. I trust in God, so why should I be afraid? What can mere mortals do to me? True that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That sounds like a New Testament right there, like a Corinthians or something where, somewhere in there.
Right.
No.
Yeah. Right. Thank you, sir. Number three. Why is David able to talk in God's life-giving light? So I'm sorry, walk in God's life-giving light.
That would be 56:13.
But yes, ma'am. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well.
What's up, sis?
Good.
You said 56 what?
56:13.
Oh, 13? Okay.
And it's can you read 12, too?
Okay.
Oh, I had, I started at 11. Go ahead.
Okay, it says, I will fulfill my vow to you, O God, and will offer a sacrifice of thanks for your help. For you have rescued me from death. You have kept my feet from slipping. So now I can walk in your presence, O God, in your life-giving light. Amen. Let's see.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir, ma'am.
All right. Okay. Question number four. After asking God to have mercy on him, what did David say he would sin?
Chapter 50, wait a minute, somebody else? Chapter 57, 1 through 3.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
All right.
Have mercy on me. Oh, God, have mercy. Excuse me, please. I look to you for protection. I will hide beneath the shadow of your wings until the danger passes by. I cry out to God Most High, to God who will fulfill his purpose for me. He will send help from heaven to rescue me, disgracing those who hound me. My God will send forth his unfailing love and faithfulness. Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Hey, Brother Maxie.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And reading those scriptures that was presenting everything, do you feel, was that a prayer or was that a poem or a song?
What Brother Eric just read?
Yes, sir.
I believe it was a prayer because it, you can tell by what he wrote, David had a relationship mm-hmm. with God.
Mm-hmm.
So, to me it's just a prayer because, when you pray, you should pray God's word back to him, and not that he's necessarily praying his word back to him, but he knows that God has unfailing love, and he understands that. So whenever he's asking for help, you can hear his, whether it's a prayer or a psalm, you hear that he understands the word, and he knows what God can do for him.
All right. Thank you.
I'm not sure if that necessarily answered your question or not.
But it does give me some insight, though. The main thing,
okay.
That is the truth.
Yeah.
That is very true,
Yeah, that was a
a good answer and a good way to answer that question. Because if you look at these prayers, it's called a miktam of David. And what does that word miktam mean? Especially in regards to David. Most of these prayers were prayers that David prayed in silence. His mouth was covered. They couldn't really tell. But then later on, for the good of the people, for the teaching of the people, these prayers were written down. You know, my wife writes out her prayer. Okay, who knows? Maybe one day during the tribulation period, somebody will find those and find strength in them. Even though we might not be praying about the things they prayed about, but these are the whispers of his heart made public. I was just reading my book on Christian history yesterday. Well, read six chapters anyway. Got to the part where they were talking about St. Francis of Assisi. And he was horrible at, or you know, he founded an order, the Franciscans, but he was horrible. His organizational skills were like zero. But what he could do is write down the whispers in his heart in prayers, and we have some of those prayers. And one of them, you know, it just really, really speaks to my heart. So what David prayed to God in silence has now been put in words for all of us. And so, yeah, that was a good way to answer that question. He's making his request known to God based on the history of his relationship with God. So, yeah, good question, good answer.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
You're welcome.
See, that's why you're the professor.
See why y'all keep Jesus laughing. Every time y'all say something like that, Jesus roll off his throne laughing. So they really think you got brains. I'm like, well, you do that. You make them think that.
Okay. Question number five. When we have a relationship with God and our enemies set a trap for us, what can happen?
I got 57-6.
All right.
Yes, sir.
My enemies have set a trap for me. I am worried from distress. They have dug a deep pit in my path, but they themselves have fallen into it. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, wow. Don't that remind who taught the book of Esther?
Maggie.
What? Oh yeah, Maggie had Esther.
Yep.
Uh-oh.
Remember what's his name? Haman?
Yeah.
And he set up that 75-foot tall gallows for Mordecai.
Oh
yeah.
Yeah.
He ended up on it.
He ended up
on
it. That's what our enemies don't know it, but the traps they set for us, it's God getting ready to make judgment. It could work out in their favor, though, as in the case of Saul. When he was headed to Damascus to go jack some Christians, he ended up becoming one. Okay. It could go either way. So it's not safe, really, to mess with God's people because they're on a mission from him, and it doesn't matter who they are or what they're like. You could be as crappy as Samson. And you know Samson, he ain't obeyed no rules. But he was the perfect man that the Lord needed to jack the Philistines because he was just indomitable, right? He was just, you couldn't tell him nothing. But he was the man for the job, even though he was like, disobedient at every turn, even to the point where he cut his hair off and broke that covenant with God, but then grew that hair back and took out more Philistines in his death than he did in his life. So, you know, it's a dangerous thing to mess with God's people because you might think they're crappy, but God might have picked them because they're crappy. if that make any sense, because he can get what he want out of them because they the way they are. Samson was the perfect, because if you really read about him, he was not a picture of somebody with that vow on them. You know what I mean? With a Nazarite vow. He seemed like, you know, a sexual libertine. You know what I mean? But, you know, it's a good way to say it because kids might be listening. But still, he was the man for the job. And the Philistines made a mistake thinking he was a despot and they can just take him out. He ended up taking them out. But like I say, he was the man for the job. It's not about our perfection. It's about God's.
Yeah. I know how you feel about messing with God. My dad told me that, like we might feel somebody is crappy or not doing what's right. He said that what God shows to his people he chose, we may not never see it with the naked eye, but he like for you, he may tell you something about us that we think what you said is out of order or was bold, but he had a purpose for it. So, yeah, I can agree with what you said, totally. Not just because my dad said it, though. Yeah, I know how you said that, but you say he don't show the record layman what he showed y'all. So.
Right, and, you know, I think God picked, you know, if I can just speak for me, or even you just look at some of the leaders in the Bible, you know, most of them didn't want the job, and most of them got the job and crapped out in the job, but that's who God wanted for whatever his reasons were. But that's an awesome thing, and that ought to teach us something. Leave God's people alone and stop judging Jesus Christ about how much work he have or have not done on one of his little brothers or sisters. You know, a Christian should never get in the way of another Christian. You know, like, who was I heard? I heard somebody saying the worst whooping you could get was to get into a fight with a brother or sister. It was the same way in my house. You know, if you got into a fight with your brothers and sisters, that would get you a real good whooping. A real good. We were taught early on that that's something you don't do. You know, so what does God do when two of his children down there trashing each other? That's one of the worst whoopings you can get. You know, like Moses, he's going to go out here and kill an Egyptian, right? Then the next day he come out, he find two Jews attacking each other. Now what are you going to do?
Right. He made you.
Yeah. Right. They went off on him.
Yeah.
And they let him know your little secret ain't no secret.
Right.
Right.
We know. We see that pile of sand over there. We know why it's lumped up.
Right. Right. Well, you hear my man.
Exactly. But, you know, but God will look out for us. So if you're on a job, and the people on the job is just straight hating all the time. Just come to work, take a full gallon of haterade, and then come find you. Don't worry about them. They're only digging a hole for themselves. That haterade gonna spoil in their stomach and give them food poisoning. That ain't gonna work. Especially if you're in the will of God. If you're in the will, now if God using them to punish you because you ain't in the will, and that's another thing. But if you're in the will of God, then they're getting ready to have a bad day. And it's probably judgment time for them, not for you. But their sin against you is what God's going to use to bring that judgment on them. And even then, it's for their good. But again, God knows if they're going to heaven or hell. So still not a good thing to do is to mess with a Christian, no matter how crappy they seem to you, because you never know what God is doing with them. So you just want to stay out of the way and commend them to the Lord. If you got that much of a problem with them, go tell Jesus. Go snitch them out.
Oh, man.
All right.
I learned that the hard way, you know.
That was
I learned that the, you know, you got a problem with your pastor or somebody else in the church, go tell their boss, go tell Jesus. He'll fix it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's another thing my dad said. If you have a problem with a pastor, don't, like you say, don't trash him out. Just find you somewhere else to go, because what you don't know about him, you shouldn't be speaking against him. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Question number six. How does David feel, and how does he explain it?
Well, that's 57, 7 through 11.
Yes, ma'am.
My heart is confident in you, O God. My heart is confident. No wonder I can see your praises. Wake up my heart. Wake up, O leering heart. I will wake the God of my song. I will thank you, Lord, among all the people. I will sing your praise among the nations, for your infinite love is as high as the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. This God is God above the highest heavens. May your glory shine over all the earth.
Mm-hmm. Right. Thank you.
There's a noise. There's a noise in the background. Is somebody driving?
Sound like it.
Sound like somebody's driving.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting still and I'm quiet and I ain't doing
okay.
nothing.
let me run a test. I'll find it.
Okay. All right. Question number seven. How does David describe the sinners?
Say that again.
How does David describe the sinners?
What, that's number seven?
Yes, sir.
I have 58:3-5.
Yep.
All right. These wicked people are born sinners. Even from birth, they have lied and gone their own way. They spit venom like deadly snakes. They are like cobras that refuse to listen, ignoring the tunes of the snake charmers, no matter how skillfully they play. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you.
Right.
Dr. Matthew, you seem so cool.
What's
Amen.
Up? You so mad.
Amen.
Question number eight. What did David ask God to do to the sinners?
No.
It's
the
10.
A little
further down.
Oh, the way
you
described it. It's number 6. That's the oldest sinner.
I got 6 and 10.
Yes, verse 6.
Yep,
the way you described the sinner.
Give me 6 through 9.
Oh, 6 through 9? You got it, Sister
yeah.
Cat?
Oh, I thought that was the next one, because it'll tell you what did David ask God to do to the sinner.
Oh.
He said, break off your fame. So that would be the next one, I think. And so he wants
you
to
read 6 through 9, Sister Cat? Okay, well, I got you there.
Did you hear me, Mackie?
I'm sorry, what did you say?
It says, how does David describe the sinner? And then the next one says, what did David ask God to do to the sinner? So that would be 6 through 8, I think, or 6 through 9, because it's telling them to break off their fangs of God.
So I thought it was the first paragraph where it says, how does David describe the sinner?
So number eight, it says, what did David? Number 17.
Oh,
okay.
How did? Oh, we on number eight?
Yes, we're on number eight.
On number seven.
Number eight. We're on number eight.
Oh, okay. Yep. 58, 68. I'm sorry. I thought we were on 57. No, number seven. Okay.
You said 6-9, right, Brother Mackie?
Yep. 6-9.
Number
right.
Eight. Okay. It says, break off. 6-9 says, break off their fangs, O God. Smash the jaws of these lions, O God. May they disappear like water into thirsty ground. Make their weapons useless in their hands. May they be like snails that dissolve into slime. Like a stillborn child who will never see the sun. God will sweep them away, both young and old, faster than a pot heaps over burning thorns. Amen.
All right. And then number nine, what is the last thing David describes in this chapter?
I guess that'll be 10 and 11.
Yep. Process of elimination, huh?
My man. The godly will rejoice when they see injustice avenged. They will wash their feet in the blood of the wicked. Then at last, everyone will say, there truly is a reward for those who live for God. Surely there is a God who judges justly here on earth. Amen?
Amen.
All righty then.
Did we skip number seven?
How does David describe the sinners?
No,
we did that.
Oh, okay.
We did that.
Okay.
Number 10. Does David feel God is paying attention to him? Yes or no?
I said no.
Yep, that's correct.
Okay.
And then what verses made you come to that?
I said it with 5.
Yes, sir.
Chapter 59, 4 and 5, I should say.
Oh, yes,
I have done nothing
you.
Wrong, yet they prepare to attack me. Wake up, see what is happening, and help me. O Lord, God of heaven's armies, the God of Israel, wake up and punish those who wake up and punish those hostile nations. Show no mercy to the wicked traitors. Pastor O might have heard all that wind blowing outside.
You're right.
No, I found it. It was. I found it. It was Owly.
Oh, wow.
He muted, though.
I'm back again, y'all. I really apologize. I was in my little room and everything since I'm home alone. I'm loving it.
Yeah. Hey, don't say it like that, Ali, because you know Sister Cat be the snitch on you.
You know what? Believe me, that's my least worry.
I think somebody's trying to say something.
No.
I'm
Sarah.
I'm telling.
Yeah, it's all in fun, everyone.
Oh, that's Sarah.
But hold on. Now that we talk, I have one question. On the serious side, how is or where is Sister Reese? You haven't heard her lately.
Uh-huh.
Anybody know?
What? No, sir.
You doing okay?
I haven't heard her in quite some time.
Yeah, you're right. All right.
Sure, I think in the background I was trying to say something. No, I was saying I was telling.
What's going on?
She's going to snitch you out, Allie. You know they all stick together.
She already knows because she's listening. We way ahead of y'all, remember?
Right.
Right.
All right. Question number 11. Does David really have faith that God will save him?
Oh, yeah.
That's 59:8-10.
What? 8-10.
What did you have, brother?
Me?
Yes, sir.
I had 11-13.
Okay. Actually, if you look at number 9, the answer's right there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's
the question? 59:9. 59:9. I just said 8-10, yeah. But
okay, hold on. That's number 11.
That's number 11, 59:9.
Okay, let me see. Number 11 says, does David really have faith that God will save him? You are my strength, I wait for your rescue, but you are God, I'm my fortress. Okay, y'all making me be wrong.
No, I'm just reading out.
We have faith that he's going to save him. So he was saying, you are my strength. So he knows that he's going to save him. He said, you are my strength.
Yeah, he says, I wait for you to rescue me. Right. Y'all making me wrong.
Y'all making me wrong. I told my teachers that when I messed up in class, I'm like, oh, I ain't mess up. You making me be wrong.
Yeah, okay. I see it now that you answered it.
Okay.
See, Mackie, you're making people be wrong.
Yeah,
I'm
going
to work on that.
And Sister Cat.
making me be wrong. That's one reason why I didn't get it right. Y'all made me.
Exactly. I thought I had it right. I'm gonna let y'all have that one.
Well, you can get one of them.
Thank you, sir. Mm-hmm.
You
can
have one. You still get an A for one
long.
Now
you're
making a mockery of me. You're laughing at me. That hurts my feelings.
I'm not laughing at you.
Okay, let me mute my mic.
We laughing with you, Eric. Funny.
No, you're laughing at me.
Are we ready to continue?
All right. Question number 12. How does David display his praises for God?
We didn't even read number 11 yet.
That was number 11.
That
was
Eric
11.
Let us read it.
Eric get wrong.
Yeah, he didn't let us read it.
I read it.
Oh, you read it. Okay.
Yeah. We'll read it again if you want me to.
Everybody can be right.
Because we don't want to make nobody be wrong.
Exactly.
I can't wait till I do something wrong. And Sheila say, why are you doing that wrong? I'm like, because you made me wrong.
Right.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, God. We can really come up with
something. Right. Question number 11. Does David really have faith that God will save him? And the answer was found in chapter 59, verse 9, which reads, you are my strength. I wait for you to rescue me. For you, O God, are my fortress.
Mm-hmm.
right. Can't go against the teaching.
All right. Number 12. How does David display his praises for God?
59. Okay, here we go. 16 and 17.
Yes, sir.
Told y'all I was going to get it right.
Oh, wow.
But as for me, I will sing about your power. Each morning I will sing with joy about your unfailing love, for you have been my refuge, a place of safety when I am in distress. Oh, my strength to you I sing praises, for you, O God, are my refuge, the God who shows me unfailing love. Amen.
Amen.
All right. I can't get no clapping none for that, a round of applause.
Wow.
Oh, he just made you be right that time. He just made you be right.
That's not the point.
Y'all wrong.
See, that worked
go
both
ahead,
ways. Right.
Thanks for straightening it out, Brother Mackey.
Anytime. Question number 13. What does David say before asking to be restored?
Sixty-one. It says, you have rejected us, O God, and broken our defenses. You have been angry with us. Now restore us to your favor. It says, we got time to read the footnotes. It says, this psalm gives us information about David's reign not found in the books of 1 and 2, 2 Samuel 1 and 2 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, although the setting of this psalm is found in 2 Samuel 8, that passage makes no reference to the fact that David's forces had met stiff resistance, 61-3. And apparently even a temporary defeat. The closer we get to God, the more our enemies will attack us because we threaten their evil and selfish way of living. Wow.
They just keep coming at us. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's kind of what
yep.
Jesus' brothers told him, or Jesus told one of his brothers when they was questioning him. They didn't have a whole lot of confidence in him. And in John chapter, I think it's chapter 7, verse 3 or something like that, 3 through 5, where he's having this discussion with his brother, and his brother is telling him to go and, you know, and show yourself to them. And Jesus answered his brother saying, the world hates me because I keep telling it its ways are bad, you know, and so, that's what David is experiencing right here, that because he's going and doing God's work, hatred shows up. And the big picture is Satan is fighting back, especially against David, because the scepter shall not depart from Judah is the prophecy
right.
that Satan picked up on that Jacob gave. And now that David has come to the throne from the tribe of Judah, well, Satan really focusing his efforts in on him. And that's why all this stuff that happened to him happened, trying to prevent, you know, the birth of the Savior, starting from as far back as Ruth, as far back as Jericho, because Rahab, the harlot, married a man named Solomon, who gave birth to a man named Boaz, who, and you know the rest of the story. So in our efforts to serve God, or just because we're serving God, does not mean it's going to be a cakewalk.
Right.
And we may suffer some seem like defeats along the way. but they're really not defeats. For whatever reason, God is doing whatever he's doing, but we will get where we're going, and the enemy will be overcome. You remember when David and them went up to fight, and they prayed, Lord, should we go up? And they went up, or it was somebody else, and they went up, and they lost. And then the Lord said, yeah, go up again. So they went up again, and they lost. And then David had everybody to fast and pray and turn toward God, and then they got the victory. Why the first two losses? Only God knows. But those two losses led to the victory. And that's what David's talking about here, is sometimes when we're doing God's work and we're steadily facing attacks, it seems like either he didn't call us to the work, or we wouldn't be going through that, or we just don't know why or what. You called me to this, why all this? Some of those answers we won't get, but we just need to know for sure that he sent us. And if he did, then we just pray again and go again, just like David did. David prayed again. God said, go again. And no matter how many times they lost, they just prayed again and went again, and then they won. So, again, why the two losses, I don't know. But I'm pretty sure that all things in the Old Testament as well as the New was working together for the good of those who loved God and were called according to his purpose.
Okay.
I mean, when you read verses 1 through 4, I mean, really, that's like God just left the building. You've rejected us, broken our defenses. He was angry with us. Now restore us. You've shaken our land to split open, seal the cracks. You've been hard, make us drink wine that sent us reeling. But you've raised a banner for those who feared you, a rallying point for the face of attack. And that's how our life is as a Christian, you know, in and out, up and down, up and down. We fall down, we get up. That's what we do, and that's what David is experiencing right here, and we'll experience it too. Wow.
Well, I got you, Rep.
Yep,
Rep. That's an overall.
All right. Question number 14. How do we know David has no other option but to turn to God?
I had 16, 9 through 12. What you got, Sister Cat, because it sounds like I'm not right.
I got 9 to 12, too. So.
Okay, that's cool. We'll be going together.
Sorry about that.
Yep. Where the professor
go
at?
Ahead. Go ahead and read it for me, please.
Go ahead, Sister Cat. You got the flow.
I thought you was going to get an A-minus. Okay, let me
right,
see.
Right.
I'm gonna get an A minus and a gold star on the front of my phone.
Who will bring me into the fortified city? Who will bring me victory over Edom? Have you rejected us, O God? Will you no longer march with our enemies? Oh, please help us against our enemies, for all human help is useless. With God's help, we will do mighty things, for he will trample down our foes. And let me see. It says in the footnote 6:10, God said the cities and territories of Israel were his, and he knew the future of each of the nations. When the world seems out of control, we must remind ourselves that God owns the cities and knows the future of every nation. God is in control. With God's help, we will gain the victory. Amen.
Amen.
He owns it all.
So true.
You can't do nothing without him. It's all here.
All right. Thank you. Anybody got any other comments or anything they want to add?
I had a good time.
Hey, start again.
Hey, y'all.
Well, family, the only thing I can say closing out is that besides David and Abraham and Moses and so on and so forth and everything, all of these distinguished Christians had faith without Jesus Christ. So what has that done?
Yeah.
Us.
Wow.
Can I get a copy on that?
That's a ten, folks.
That's crazy.
Amen. All right, Brother O.
Okay.
Pass overall, you got anything for us? Upcoming classes and the other announcements?
Yeah, this Saturday. What is this Saturday? This Saturday is the first, right? It's the second Saturday? Second Saturday?
Yes, sir.
Elder Joseph Stevens will be bringing the message on this Saturday. And I will be bringing the message on the second part of God's plan for life and family. Mm-hmm. We dealt with life last week, earth to heaven. This week we're going to deal with the single Christians who may or may not become married Christians. But if we can fix the single Christians, then we can probably make better marriages. And big shout out to Kathy Clapper. Last week her show just went crazy. I mean, you talking about wondering, is that a topic we should be discussing? Lord have mercy. The show went 3 hours. And it was unbelievable.
Oh, my God.
I thought it would never go stop. And see, the guy, Cassie, that we were dealing with popped up when Jonathan was there, too. He always have all ones across because he hides his number, because he shows up sometime in our classes and worship services. I believe he has some sort of connection with the Unitarian movement, Universal Christians, All Saints. That's kind of where you can be a Buddhist, a Confucius, a Hindu, or whatever, and you're welcome. Mm. And all of these things, is nothing's wrong. Okay, it's where Carlton Pearson went after they put him out of the church. Because of his new turn toward there's no devil and everybody is saved if they were born after the birth of Christ, because, of course, he died for all our sins. So that's usually where Christians go who have an alternative lifestyle to what the Bible teaches, but they want to be accepted in that lifestyle. And so they go and join the All Saints Church. It's really a Unitarian movement. And he mentioned it when he came on your show the first time, when he was talking about we all need to work together. The Gnostics, these are people who believe Jesus was less than God but more than man, or they take the Monophysite view, the Coptic Church view, that he was fully divine even though he had a human body. And that's based on their theology. Their theology says all matter and mass is evil. So to square that with their theology, they had to make Jesus something other than God because he had a material body. And if all matter and mass is evil and Jesus had a material body, how does a holy and right God end up in a evil body? And so said he's less than God but more than man. On the Monophysite said he's fully divine yet with a human body. So it does away with his humanity. On the other hand, it does away with his deity. Both of us are. But anyway, that's kind of where he was coming from. And mm-hmm. and then, you know, that's a lot of people want the church. I don't think people understand that the church is not a ministry. The church, the outline, Mackie, if you don't mind, Deacon Mackie, if you don't mind, I want to just speak on that just a second. In Ephesians chapter 4, in verses 11 through, really through 16, but just to 13 to give you enough, this is the job of the church. And I'm talking about the local organized congregation of baptized believers who meet in or outside at a certain locality. It's what we call a local church, not to be confused with the body of Christ. Okay, so the local church, it picks up right at the latter part of verse 11. It's pastors who teach or pastors who are also teachers. Okay, that's what that means right there. Just those last two as the gifts that Christ gave to the church. Now, when he says to the church in the former part of this verse, he is talking about the body of Christ as a whole. He is not talking about a local organized congregation of baptized believers, which constitutes a local church. He's talking about these gifts were given to the church. But then apostles, prophets, evangelists, they all work really, except for prophets, they can, you know, talk to the whole body of Christ as a whole. And they can talk to an individual, as we've discussed with in Acts chapter 20. Paul said, Holy Spirit told him, prison and chains await me. In chapter 21, the prophet Agabus shows up and says the exact same thing. So Paul knew first, then the prophet showed up to confirm it. And that's how it works. Evangelist Billy Graham, they don't really pastor churches. They may belong to one, so they're under a cover of a pastor, but they really don't. All they ever preach is Jesus. All they ever do is tell people to get saved. They don't preach from the epistles, and even if they did, it would be a salvation sermon. Then you come to the pastors and teachers, or pastors who teach, pastors who are also teachers. That's what that means. It's not literally right here talking about the gift of teaching, which you guys have, right, as well as the pastor. But this is a pastor who teaches. Now, listen, the pastor who teaches, their responsibility, now listen to what a church is supposed to do. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son, that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Now, 14 through 16 gives reasons why he wants to do that. We will no longer be immature like children, blown around every time somebody come up talking about something, we into that. Okay, we will be guided by the Word. So the job of the church is to take the people who join the church and equip them to do God's work. This is called the equipping model of church administration. And so that's the work of the church. So like Janice, she's a ministry. She can do anything. Anything she can get funding for, she can do it. In the name of, but a church can't do that. A church can't, like Janice got the thing going over there helping the little girls go to school. We can fund her to do that, but we can't leave off from doing this, because see, we won't have power from Jesus to do that, because that's not the church's job. That's why we link up with Forgotten Harvest and Gleaners. See, we can't go off and become Forgotten Harvest. That's not our job. Okay, God got people doing that. We can't be Gleaners. We can't be Detroit Rescue Mission. We can't be the Salvation Army. We can't be Covenant House. We can't be First Fruit Living Ministry or Bondage Breaker. They are. So we can equip God's people to do God's work in the world, not in the church house, but in the world. When they leave the church, they go home and be Christians And the church's job is to teach them how to do that. But if there's a father in the home or a man, whatever, they go home to their house, whatever the situation is, and they live the Christian life there. They go to their job, live the Christian life there. Everywhere they go, they live the Christian life, but they learn in the church. For instance, Jesus taught his disciples, then they went out and did it. And that's the same thing. We're not doing anything different. When the church started early in the book of Acts, they would have what those house churches. And most of them were pastored by women because in a domestic space, in that culture, men had no problem with women being in control, none at all. And so most of those house churches were pastored by women. They didn't make that distinction, she's a woman, he's a man. That didn't start until Rome took over in the years 300 and 400 and forward up to 1500. That's when that started, because Rome does not allow women to be an authority, period, less over a man, but period. And so women were, when Roman Christianity became a thing, then women were demoted. And so that's the guy. A lot of people want the church to do a lot of things, but that's not the church. The church can't bring back the family, even though right now I'm preaching God's plan for life and family. We have to work through Kathy to do stuff like that, because God has, boy, and that show you did last week was off the chain. That is, if it's not clear that that's what God wants you doing, I mean, the questions, it probably would have never stopped. That's something people want to talk about.
They do.
But the church, could you imagine us trying to do that at church, have a phone up there and people calling in, and that don't even make sense. So, a lot of times people get mad at me because they come with these ideas that they want Runner for Christ to do. But just because our last name is Ministries doesn't make us a ministry. We are a church, and we have to follow this model right here, or other than that, we're outside of the will of God for a church, a local organized congregation of baptized believers, and there'll be no power for it. We'll be doing it in self. And when the devil come over there and see ourselves doing that, oh, he tearing that straight up because ain't no Jesus in it. He's going to know that we are out of order, and he can attack it at will, and there's nothing we can do because that's not what he told us to do. That's why we work through all these ministries. They're doing the thing that we want to do and God wants done. We support them. That's why I thank the Finance Committee for never telling me no when I go out and find one of these ministries that's actually doing the work that God wants done that we can't do because we're a church. I had to learn this the hard way, though, real hard way, but I learned it. And that's why when I get these ideas, I immediately push back against it. What most people don't know is God's calling you out. He's not calling your church to do that. He's calling you to do that. Mm-hmm. And maybe your church can support you in that. Yeah. So anyway, that's that. And then Sunday we'll be talking about God's plan for life and family, and we'll be going to part two of it. We're going to be talking about the single Christians and get them ready to go.
What's up?
Question.
So, like the man was saying, how are we going to get the men back in church? So,
Jesus was rolling off the throne laughing when he was saying that. The reason is this. Will God leave off saving souls to go chasing men who won't go to church? Really? Do you see? Men know where the church at. Men know how to drive. They know how to get. They drive everywhere else. They go everywhere else they want to go. They simply do not want to go to church. And so they come up with too many gay people in church. That's why I don't go. It's women in church. They ain't straight. That's why I don't go. You'd be surprised at the crap I've heard why men don't go to church. Mm-hmm. And pastors doing some of everything to get men back in church. Jesus loved men, But if they want to sit at home and watch TV, he ain't about to come over their house and knock on their door talking about, what do I need to do to get you back in church? You know, that's like the prodigal son's father going down to the club where he's throwing up all his money and say, what do I need to do to get you back to the house? That's not going to, they are not the straightaway sheep because they ain't lost. They know where they at. They are not the coin in the house that's lost where the Lord looked until he found it. They know where they were, and they know where they walked away from, and they're prodigal. Because you cannot tell me in the Bible where God said you don't have to go to church. You don't have to be a part of a congregation of baptized believers. That's just not this. That's just not written. It's not written nowhere in the Bible that you can opt out of church. You can't do it. I skipped. I went drag racing. I ain't never told y'all Jesus told me I could not go to church. I just went drag racing because that's what I wanted to do. But these men killed me with that lie talking about it's just the reason I ain't going. And then God supposed to, what? Okay, I asked my wife when we got off the show. I said, baby, you the pastor of the church. What would you do to get men to come back to the church? Any one of y'all. You're the pastor, okay? What would you do to get men? What would you do to get men to come back to the church?
I used to belong, at my last church, we had an organization which was called the Bomb Squad, Bring Our Men Back. That's what the acronym was for, to church.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you did that.
Yeah, and they had a lot of ideas, and then they worked with a lot of those places, like, where men were in, like, shelters and stuff. And what we did is we would get different, well, for one, they invited a bunch of different churches at all times. But we brought guys from the shelters and found out what was their issues and what was their problems. A lot of them was thrown out of the house. They didn't have nowhere to go, so they stopped doing this and stopped doing that, which that's going to be a good excuse in their eyes. But they, like you say, they had a host of excuses why they didn't go to church anymore. And like you say, somebody was, well, everything in the church, the women running it, so they want to do it their way. So what's the purpose of us being there? They're going to do it how they want. All these different excuses came up, and that's true. But there was a few guys that did get their lives back together and was able to go back home. And, well, they had to correct their street light first before they went back home. And they worked on it, got themselves back in order, got them a job, and they was able to go back home. And they fell back in the surf, in the rotation of going to churches with the family. But I'm not going to say it works for everybody, but it works for a few people that it did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's why we work with Detroit Rescue Mission, Salvation Army, and Covenant House, because they are unashamedly Christian. And their members are exposed, the people that they help are exposed to Christian worship services on the regular.
Yeah.
I mean, we like other ministries, like we like Red Cross, but Red Cross is not unashamedly Christian. They try to be open, sort of Unitarian. And so that's...
They want to put both sides in the middle.
Plus more money go to the people they got running it than the people. So when the ratio is off like that, then we can't get into that. We try to deal with places that 95% of what they get in goes to help people. Other than that, no. But we mostly just deal with Christian organizations that are going to steer people toward church. We don't care if they steer them toward Running for Christ. Just as long as they're unashamedly Christian and putting it in their face and giving them an opportunity like it was done, like my mother did for us. She had it on the table. And it's right in front of us, and it got us, got all of us, every one of us. My brother Jason was the last one to give his life to Christ, but it got all of us. And so, yeah, that. So how do you get men back in church? I mean, Mackie, what would you do? How would you? How would you get men back in church?
Hey, that's on them.
What would you do, Ollie?
I tell you, Pastor. The only thing I could say is that to get men back in church is that follow your own mind of what makes you a man. And then holler back at God. That's the key right there.
A real man is a man who's under God. Every other person is just a male.
Right.
Jesus Christ makes you a man.
Right. So that's the only thing I would say.
The prophetic person at home, the protector at home, and the provider. Those are some of the things I know we discussed with the guys during our time in those different meetings that we would have. Because we would have them one Saturday every month. And, you know, we'd cook breakfast and like in about 7 or 8 or 9 different churches. They would come with different men. Some men that was already established in their homes, and some men that was just out in the streets or single guys and that had children and was trying to get them to the point where at least if you're not going to go with your missus, at least you get your child and take them to church so they can see how they're supposed to be raised up. And like I said, it worked for a few. It didn't work for them all.
Let's see, because that's when a church tries to become a ministry. Sheep beget, as far as churches getting more members, sheep beget sheep. You know, a pastor, the shepherd can't make sheep because that means he's sleeping with the sheep. And that's not, don't even make sense, right? But two sheep can make sheep. In other words, the members of the church go out and tell other people about their church. And people are more likely to believe you because they know you than somebody else. But that is the church can't, like, make a mission. When you talk about getting more members for the church, you know, it's certain things you can do and certain things the Lord ain't going to even touch, you know. So getting men back in church, getting men back in church is kind of like, the best way for, let me show you. God got a plan for women getting unsaved men, they unsaved husbands or wayward husbands back in church. Listen to this. This is the Lord's way of a wife who has a husband who's kind of wayward, right? Now, let me get to the right book first. Go to 1 Peter chapter 3. Listen to what the Lord says here. In the same way, you wives must accept the authority of your husbands. Then, even if some refuse to obey the good news, your godly lives will speak to them without any words. They will be won over by observing your pure and reverent lives. So, again, the Lord says in 1 Thessalonians, you don't have to turn there, 4:11-12, seek to lead that quiet life, mind your own business, work with your own hands, get the respect of those who are on the outside, and you won't be dependent on anybody. Jesus says, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Now, for instance, Runner for Christ Ministries, what we would have to do is, because we can't work to get men back in every church in Ecorse or Rouge or South, we'd be concerned about our little local organized congregation of baptized believers called Runner for Christ, where we meet in that certain locality as the body of Christ to worship and praise the Lord, right? Now, think of the men at Runner for Christ. Which men would we go after?
Say that again.
What men in Runner for Christ are not coming to Runner for Christ? I mean, if we said we're going to get the men that don't come to church no more, who would we go get?
I only know two. My man Antoine Lawson and Brother Gaston.
Who?
The Gaston, Dumpy's brother.
Kevin?
No, not Kevin, the little young, the one that's
Oh, you talking about Kenny Gaston.
Yeah.
I still talk to Kenny. Kenny he gonna make it back.
Okay,
now,
I'm
Antoine Lawson.
And Antoine Lawson.
Antoine, he married and he attends his wife's church.
Okay, I'm gonna go see what that's it. And them the only two that I know.
When they disappear, we get in touch to find out what's going on. And
okay.
We really don't have that many men that we would have to go after. So Running for Christ Ministries wouldn't have to create them. Could you imagine this now? And I thank you for allowing us this time, Deacon Mackey. But could you imagine Running for Christ Ministries forming a single men's dating club? I mean, think of the single men in our church and the single women.
Hey, bro, Mackey, come pick me up.
Now, imagine that. So I get up there Sunday and I say, okay, I want all the single men and all the single women to meet out here with me next Thursday. Who's going to show up? A bunch of women,
me
right?
Mackey,
we know that,
me,
right?
Me, Mackey, and Jonathan.
No. Like Mackey say, don't wait on me, bro. So it would be you, but mostly, really, you, Jonathan, and Pastor Terrence Tate. Oh, Deacon Charles. Well, you know, so you see our men's, so you see right there. See, so that idea does not work in every church because every church don't have that problem.
Mm-hmm.
Running for Christ Ministries just don't have that many men. God sent us a lot of women, and they're doing the thing, and so we're really not even suffering. So what God is doing in Romans chapter 11, you don't have to turn there, but the Lord explains why right now he's going hard after the Gentiles. His explanation is in the hopes that the Jews whose salvation came through would become jealous and say, you know, all them Gentiles going into heaven before us, and we are the Jews. Jesus said salvation is of the Jews in John 4, talking with that woman at the well, right? And here we are all saved, and they going, you know, without Christ straight into hell. And so God used them. So God is taking these women today and putting them in all kinds of positions. And that's because he's trying to get the men to recognize and to come back. Come back. Take your authority. Take your stand. Take your place. But they won't. They just keep doing what Adam did when Satan showed up. Eve running the house already. She just took over. She running the house. Adam over here in the corner talking about, I don't even bother her. I just let her have her way. And look where we are. And so that's called the passive responding man. And that's what you have. Men don't go to church no more. God wants men to come to church so he can put them in their position, but they won't. And so he is not going to stop. So he just look at this woman over here, and he says, hey, you want to do this for me? And she's like, sure, Lord, I'll do it. And the next thing you know, a woman is. Look at that. Look at the ministries we support. Bring back the family. A woman. First Fruit Living Ministry. A woman. Bondage Breakers Ministry. A woman. If God could get men to just show up, he would make them the head. They are the head. They just won't be the head. So, but it's like this. The Lord is not going to stop his program to save souls. And if men want to sit wherever they are on Sunday when they're supposed to be there, the worst thing, you want to hear what really peeves the Lord? When he see a wife show up and the kids show up in church without the husband. Oh, he going to bless that wife. And he's going to bless them kids. But Jesus ain't real happy with that husband because he ain't leading. He's following.
Mm-hmm.
And that if you really want to figure, if you really want to wonder what pees Jesus off on a Sunday morning at a church service, let him look out there and see a bunch of wives with the kids and no husband. Now, his boyfriends, they don't count because the Lord don't give no respect to them boyfriend-girlfriend relationships until they get engaged. If they get engaged, then the Lord pays respect to that because there's intentions. But boyfriends and girlfriends, they only playing with each other in their head. Jesus ain't playing that game with them until they say, I want to get married. Then, and to get a ring, when they put a ring on it, then Jesus get involved because there's an engagement. Other than that, he ain't engaged in their relationship because they ain't engaged. But once they do get engaged, then he expects that man to be a man. And when he see a woman sitting in church and the husband ain't there, I would hate to be that husband. Oh, please, I haven't been there. My wife used to be in church, and I was at the drag strip. I told her, I'll meet you at church, and I went to the drag strip. So I know what Jesus will do, too. I know how you look at a man who do that because I was that man. See, a lot of people think I be trashing other people. I'm just remembering something I did and what he did to me for doing that, and I'm trying to help somebody to avoid that. You ain't, Jesus don't consider you a man if you ain't following him. Whose man are you? You're a man apart from Jesus. Really? God said, let us create who? Man. In what? Our image, our likeness. So if you ain't under him, you ain't no man, because only God make men. Men don't make men. And, boy, I'd hate to be a woman who got a man that don't follow Jesus and she following that man. Lord, have mercy. No telling where that's going.
I like the... I like the first fruit ministries because you can, you know, people do come up and you can get a chance to invite people to come to church. So that's a good way to get the men in and get other people in the church. You out there, you get to talk to them and invite them in there.
I got an idea from Deacon and Deaconess Ray and June Rogers. They gave me a postcard. And it's a good idea. I'm definitely going to institute that. I don't know how well it'll do toward getting men to come back to church, but it will get people to think about coming out to church.
Maybe you should start your bomb back. Be the bomb. Okay.
I think we done.
We done lost Eric.
Okay, I think we lost them all.
Pardon me, ma'am.
Oh, I was just saying, you know, that's a nice I like
the acronym
bomb. Yeah, that's
the
bomb.
Yeah, bring the man back.
Yeah, bring the man back. I like that. That's the bomb. You might should do that.
Yeah.
Since Pastor just needs three women ministries, maybe you should go on and get your men ministry back, your ministry.
But what we found out is that most of the men become, when they do come to church, they become very passive, and they be very bored.
But then
you got to remember also, on Sundays, to them, they're competing. There's a competing competition. It's the church, and it's Sunday football. It's the church or it's Sunday afternoon basketball. Yeah, they got an afternoon service. That's really a problem. Now they missing the game. So they just figure, I'm staying home. And even some of these
that's the choice. That's the choice they'll have to make. You know, they have to see who's important, most of who's not important.
Well, I'm sorry,
but
Brother Mackey, I'm taking on your. You do what you're doing, Brother Mackey.
Don't invite them. If we don't invite them, then will they?
I care to differ with you guys. I think a lot of it has to do going with the Bible. It's what you teach your children. Now, we going back way back. If that wasn't enforced when Moses crossed over Egypt, over the Red Sea from Egypt and everything, about the laws and everything, that we still not paying attention. You know?
Yeah, what you said over the book of Judges 2 and 10, it talks about they managed to raise a generation that did not know God. Have we done that? And is that the reason men don't go to church? But then again, men of all generations don't go.
Thank you.
You know,
thank you.
It's a horrible thing. But literally, I've thought about it. Every pastor have thought about it. And some have even tried to make an attempt to get them to come back. But again, y'all know I talk to the Lord and he talks to me, right? And he was just cracking up, and he understood the man's heart, and his he understood all of that, but he said, I have to tell him to go and get on Christian Mingle. They have a Christian dating website, and if men are looking for a Christian wife, they can go to Christian Mingle. The Lord heard people's cry, and rather than making some church turn into a dating site, he said, okay, I need you to create Christian Mingle. And somebody created Christian Mingle, where Christians go and mingle. And you meet somebody there. There's a lot of folks who have met people online and have had successful relationships. They don't all crash and burn, okay? And if they start asking you to send them money, tell them we're not married. We're just mingling. And I don't send people, I mingle with money. You know, just use your brains and pay attention. But God's not going into the dating game. That's just not something he into. And God's not going chasing after men who, for whatever reason they've made up, don't go to church no more. He's just not doing it. He cares, but if they don't come back, he will not stop his program. Not at all. He'll use the men he got, and the rest of them, well, there you go. But he is not going to go out chasing after no wayward man who have gotten whatever in his head as to why he somehow feel like he can tell Jesus, I don't never have to go to church again. I just sit at the crib and send my wife and kids. Or I'm single, and I just don't have to go. I'll worship right here. I'll watch Tony Evans. I watch Joel Osteen, I'm good. That's not what Jesus said, though. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, which is or has become the custom of a lot of you. So the Lord knows. That's like his disciples telling him, you know, Jesus, all these Bible classes and things, you know, a brother got fish to catch. I got stuff to do, and I can't be here all the time, so. But they didn't. They made a complete sacrifice and left and followed him. They dropped their stuff and followed him. But he ain't even asking us to do that. He's just asking us to come to church for an hour and a half on Sunday with your family. It's crazy.
Well, right now they got a good excuse. They blamed it on COVID-19 now.
Yeah, but everybody else in church. So, you know. You know. But the Lord, you know, he is not going to go chasing after them. He understands the sentiment. He understands, but he is not going to do that. Men just have to go to church like they're supposed to. If they don't want to, well, then that's their free choice.
Right.
But Jesus is not going to feel like they're so important. He got to create an extra ministry just to get them to come to church. Are you kidding me? Wasn't dying on the cross, wasn't that enough for you to come to church so you could live in heaven forever? How you know.
Don't go there. Don't go there.
Exactly. The Lord says, like, I think you need to drop this because I'm not feeling this, and just tell them I am not a dating club. I am a church. My body is a church, and the members of my body are my witnesses. I am not trying to work no dating club. Yeah, God made the first match in the garden, and God's still making matches today. But that is no excuse to stop serving him until you get matched up. You serve until you get matched up. I decided to go back to church to serve him, and then he knew that was all in my heart. I did not go back to church looking for Sheila. I went back to church to serve him and ran straight into Sheila.
Sure.
So maybe when men go back to church for him, maybe they'll meet them. And what kind of man are you that don't even go to church but want a wife? You want a slave. You want somebody you got an idea in your head what a wife is, okay? But you don't even have in your heart what a husband is. A husband is supposed to be a sanctifier. That means he sets his wife apart, like Jesus takes the word of God and teaches us to it and set us apart from nonsense. That's a husband's job. But you don't even go to church.
Right.
How you gonna do that? And you don't love yourself enough to go to church. So how you gonna love your wife like Christ loved the church? Yeah, Jesus skipped church. Jesus didn't never go to the synagogue. Jesus just, I can worship right here in the hut. We'll just worship right here in the hut. And that's that.
Good choice of words.
We don't even think things through, man. We just be tripping. We don't even think stuff through. But what kind of wife would Jesus give to a man who don't even go to church?
That's the part that they don't understand, the life that they can have. That's the part they don't understand until something happens or, you know, the luck just keep going bad and sour, and then, you know, like, you just fall to your knees and, like, just every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. So when you get in a bad
way. This is a
good
conversation. It's going to come back up in your show, though, Kathy Mackey. Ready to get out of here? Like, okay.
That's how it happens, Sonny. Go give him time.
She did. Sheila came. Baby Holy Ghost came running in here giving me the time sign. I'm like, Kathy, say cut this off.
Yeah. But I think
good
you can just take one Sunday and just, like, invite a man to church. If everybody in our church invite one person to church, one man to church, look how many men will have in church that day.
Did they have, what was that, family and friends or something like that?
Yeah. Yeah, that would be nice. Mm-hmm.
Or we could
one.
Have us a men's day, afternoon program, men's day. We'll call it men's day. And men come out. That's retarded.
No.
That's retarded.
I mean, you take up from somebody else's church.
Exactly. You know, from somebody else's church.
Right. Like that's like that. All right, Bob Mackey.
All right. Conversation. All right, well, I thank everybody who tuned in and everybody who participated. Another good class. A lot that we learned, a lot we can take away from it. So let us pray. Father God, we thank you again for this opportunity to come together. We hope that this class was pleasing to you. Father, this class went the way you wanted it. We prayed that it was done in your will, and that's what happened. And we thank you for that. I pray that everyone takes away something from this class, Father, and takes it to someone else. Until we can see each other again, Father, we thank you for this opportunity. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good class. Good class. Good conversation. I'm looking forward to Sunday to see what happened in Kathy's again. She always gets those interesting people calling in. Yeah.
On the first Sunday, that'll be like a relationship Sunday, and then the rest of the days is going to be for the youth. Yeah.
All right.
James, Sarah's husband, I saw him one day with one of them bomb squad jackets on.
They did it at his father's church.
Okay, yeah, because we had jackets. We had jackets made, right.
So, to not start it up all over again, but how did it work out?
It became advantageous down the road to where guys were starting to go, you know, getting themselves together where they can at least present themselves to their children and to their wives so they could possibly go back home and be part of the family again. Then there was other situations where people that was in them shelters, got into the point where they start studying the word and, you know, seeing a lot of them said they wasn't raised by men, so they didn't know how a man was truly supposed to act. They was learning their stuff out the streets. And it made a difference for a few people, I know that.
Somebody need to start a ministry and do that.
Eric?
You know, just like we used to support, Nakia when she did the blanket ministry.
Right,
remember?
Right.
And some of y'all would actually go down there with her.
Okay.
You know, we can support stuff like that, but the church can't actually set up no program like that. I mean, churches do stuff all the time, but that's because they don't understand what a 501c3 170B charitable organization act is. They've never read it. They went there, the church was established, so they have no idea what that law is all about. And that law prevents you from being a charity. That's why they have charity, and they have schools, and they have churches. All three of them got different 501c3s, you know, depending on what they're doing, what they are. And so the reason I learned is because I didn't want to be a church. I tried to offer up a ministry to the Lord. And so I had to actually file the 501c3 papers, and that's how I became familiar with the law. And we got approved in 2 months, and then the third month we became a church. But anyway, that was a big waste of time. But anyway, I was just being hard-headed. But anyway, so somebody started a ministry. And Running for Christ, we right there with you. Boom.
All right.
Bring our men back. All right. Okay, I'm the acronym, right? Bring our men back.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that too? How do you spell boom? How do you spell boom?
Bomb. B-O-M-B. Bring our
B-O-M-B.
Men back.
B-O-M-B. Bring our men back. Okay, good one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
yes,
straight
it
now.
Is. Bomb.
Okay. All minds are clear?
Yes, sir.
Good night.
Oh, I like to use my brain for you and use it to write songs for you. You're getting all of the best of me, 'cause I'm giving all of the best of me. Oh, love, my heart's only built for two. You won't wear me up 'cause I'm the perfect shoe. You're getting all of the best of me, 'cause I'm giving all of my best. I don't need words, and I don't need songs, but I choose to give them. My light shines bright when it shines for you. Whoa, I ain't blowing smoke. No, this ain't hot air. How I choose to love you. Light shines brighter when it shines for two. Turn on the truth in me. You light up my heart with possibilities. I'm getting everything I need.
I'm